is Ann Weller with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. During the next 30 minutes, I will be sharing nutrition information with you. This information is selected from the Nutrition Action Health Letter, a publication of the Center for Science in the Public Interest. Based in Washington, D.C., the Center for Science in the Public Interest was founded in 1971 by three scientists who wanted to apply their academic training to the solving of social problems. The center staff conduct innovative research and other programs in health and nutrition and provide consumers with current information about their health and well-being. An independent, nonprofit consumer health group, the center promotes honest food labeling and advertising, safer and more nutritious foods, and pro-health alcohol policies. The work of the Center for Science in the Public Interest is supported by Nutrition Action Health Letter subscribers and foundation grants. It accepts no government or industry funding, and Nutrition Action Health Letter, which was first published in 1974, accepts no advertising. The following edition of Nutrition News is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Please use the information presented in this broadcast in consultation with your personal physician. In a special feature article published in the April 2012 issue of Nutrition Action Health Letter, senior nutritionist David Chart discusses the health consequences of not getting a good night's sleep. Elephants need only 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night, while mice sleep 14 hours. Humans are somewhere in the middle. But for many of us, sleep is never long enough or good enough. About 30% of adults complain of problems sleeping, according to the National Institutes of Health. And the consequences go far beyond feeling tired the next day. People who average no more than 6 hours of sleep a night may have a higher risk of diabetes and heart disease, and may be more likely to eat more and gain more weight. So here's what the latest research shows. Getting a good night's sleep is not easy. Women tend to sleep longer and sounder than men, although women complain more than men about their sleep, says sleep anthropologist Kristen Knutson of the University of Chicago. We don't know if it's because women are more willing to speak up or if we're not measuring what's making women feel that their sleep is not refreshing. For instance, in one study, women slept about 7 hours and 50 minutes, while men slept 7 hours and 30 minutes, says Marie-Pierre Saint-Ange, a sleep and obesity researcher at Columbia University in New York. Women also tend to get more slow-wave sleep, which is the deep phase of sleep that is most restful and restorative. Slow-wave sleep shrinks for both sexes as they age, starting for some in their 30s, says Jean Duffy, a neuroscientist at Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard Medical School in Boston. If you take a group of 60-year-olds, the women will have more slow-wave sleep than the men, though still less slow-wave sleep than younger women, she notes. And that may explain why, as people get older, they're much more likely to complain about their sleep. Typically, older adults can fall asleep and sleep for the first several hours of the night, says Dr. Duffy. But toward the later part of the night, they wake up and often cannot get back to sleep. Or, if they do get back to sleep, cannot remain asleep. Researchers find that the number of very brief awakenings during the night, and each of these typically lasts between 5 and 20 seconds, that the number of these brief awakenings increases with age. Typical 25-year-olds may have only 3 or 4 of them, says Dr. Duffy, while healthy 60-year-olds may have 25 or 30 throughout the night. Despite all the bumps in the road to slumber, healthy, sleep-deprived older people perform better the next day than sleep-deprived younger people, she notes. We are not sure if this means that older adults need less sleep than younger adults. But even with less sleep, the older adults do better on many kinds of mental performance tests in the laboratory. Still, the consequences of not getting enough restful sleep may be more serious than struggling to function the next day. People who naturally sleep habitually 6 or fewer hours a night are at increased risk of developing diabetes, says Dr. Knudsen. In a meta-analysis that pulled the results of 13 studies on more than 107,000 men and women who were followed for 4 to 32 years, those who reported sleeping 6 hours a night or less were 28% more likely to later be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes than those who slept 7 or 8 hours. The disease was 57% more likely among those who had difficulty falling asleep, and in 84% more likely to happen among those who had trouble staying asleep. And it's not just diabetes. In a meta-analysis of 24 studies that followed more than 474,000 men and women for 7 to 25 years, those who reported sleeping less than 6 hours a night had a 48% greater risk of coronary heart disease than those who slept 6 to 8 hours a night. Studies have also linked shorter sleep to high blood pressure in men and women under 60. But studies that find a higher risk of hypertension, heart disease, or diabetes in short sleepers cannot prove cause and effect. Nonetheless, the associations are fairly consistent, strongly suggesting that poor sleep can lead to serious health problems, notes Dr. Knudsen. Insulin resistance could be the link. When researchers restrict young and middle-aged adults to about 5 hours of sleep a night for 1 to 2 weeks, they become more insulin resistant. And what that means is, if your cells are insulin resistant, they do not respond well to insulin. And that can make their pancreas pump out more and more insulin. And when it can't keep up, blood sugar rises and you have diabetes. Insulin resistance also increases the risk of heart disease. If lack of sleep leads to the development of insulin resistance, that might explain why it could raise the risk of diabetes and heart disease, says Dr. Knudsen. Do people who sleep less gain more weight? Among the 68,000 women in the Nurses' Health Study those who reported sleeping 5 hours or less per night gained roughly 2.5 more pounds over a period of 16 years than those who reported sleeping seven hours per night. And those who said they slept 6 hours a night gained 1.5 more pounds. And in a study that tracked the same nurses and some 70,000 other health professionals, those who slept less than 6 hours a night gained the most weight over 12 to 20 years. Those studies cannot prove cause and effect either. Something else about short sleepers could explain their weight gain. But sleep lab studies offer more evidence that sleeping less may lead to weighing more. There is substantial evidence from experiments in people that sleep deprivation leads to an increase in food intake, says Columbia University's Dr. Saint-Ange. In her recent study, 30 people in their 30s and 40s ate an average of 300 more calories after being limited to about 4 hours of sleep a night for four nights than they did when they could sleep as long as they wanted to for four nights. And in an earlier study at the University of Chicago, men and women who were not allowed to sleep more than 5 hours a night for 2 weeks ate 220 more calories a day from snacks, particularly at night, than they did when they could sleep more than 7 hours a night. So why might sleeping less make people eat more? Studies find that depriving people of sleep raises their blood levels of ghrelin, which is a hormone that increases appetite. And depriving people of sleep lowers their blood levels of leptin, which is a hormone that inhibits appetite, says Dr. Knudsen. So what can you do to improve your sleep? Here's the latest on some remedies. There is a growing consensus that regular exercise can improve sleep, says Matthew Buman, a professor of exercise and wellness at Arizona State University. In the largest study to date, Stanford University's Abby King and colleagues recruited 66 people aged 55 or older who exercised less than an hour a week and who complained about their sleep. We chose people with typical mild to moderate sleep complaints who would love to sleep better but who did not have a sleep disorder like chronic insomnia, says Dr. Buman, who helped analyze the data. 36 of the volunteers were randomly assigned to attend 2 1-hour sessions a week of aerobic exercises, stretching, muscle strengthening, and balance exercises. They were also instructed to do 30 minutes of aerobic exercise at home, at least 3 days a week. The 30 volunteers in the control group were offered weekly classes on nutrition and other topics, but they were told not to exercise. After 12 months, the exercisers reported feeling more rested in the morning than the control group. What's unique about this study is that it was the first to actually periodically measure the brain waves during sleep of people who were engaged in moderate intensity exercise during the day, Dr. Buman notes. And the brain waves showed that the exercisers fell into a stable sleep 4 minutes sooner and awoke fewer times during the first third of the night than the control group. Both groups slept about the same amount of time, that is, 6 hours a night. The results were modest and less dramatic than we originally expected, conceded the researchers, who were also disappointed that exercise did not increase the time the volunteers spent in slow-wave sleep. A few short studies in younger adults have shown that on days they exercise, they are likely to have more slow-wave sleep that night, Dr. Boomen notes. Exercise is most likely to help people whose sleep is the worst and who have been exercising the least, adds Dr. Boomen. General Nutrition Center says that valerian promotes restful sleeping, and Nature's Bounty promises that valerian helps you get the tranquil rest that you deserve. Valerian, an herb, does have sedative properties in animals, says sleep researcher Diana Taibbi at the University of Washington. But when you look at the studies in people, the effect on sleep, if any, of valerian is very small. Most research on valerian is poor quality, Dr. Taibbi notes. One problem comes from the fact that although valerian is foul-smelling, many of the studies did not conceal the odor, so people knew if they were getting it. And since sleep disturbance is largely a psychologically conditioned problem, if someone takes something expecting it to help them sleep, it probably will. In Dr. Taibbi's trial, she and her colleagues gave 16 women in their 60s and 70s who suffered from insomnia. She gave them either 300 milligrams of a valerian extract or a placebo 30 minutes before bedtime every night for 2 weeks. Now, the researcher stored the placebo next to the valerian, so it smelled just like the herb. And after a two-week break, the women switched to the other pills. When they were taking valerian, the women did not fall asleep any faster, sleep any longer, or report any better sleep quality than when they were taking the placebo, says Dr. Taibbi. In fact, the women were awake for an average of 11 minutes more on the nights they were taking valerian. And the valerian used in this study was made by Pharmavite, which claims that its nature-made brand of valerian is supported by clinical trials. Our results are consistent with most of the 29 previous studies in people with insomnia, says Dr. Taibbi. What's more, she adds, none of the more recent studies, which were also the most carefully controlled, found any significant effect of valerian on sleep. However, Dr. Taibbi notes, none of the studies looked at valerian tinctures, which are solutions of valerian extracts in alcohol. And the effects of tinctures could be entirely different, she says. But since it has never been tested, we do not know. Natrol says that its melatonin pills provide relief for occasional sleeplessness. For restful and peaceful sleep, claims instant-acting sleep-soundly liquid melatonin. Now, melatonin is a hormone produced in the brain at night that precedes the onset of sleep, but does not necessarily cause sleep, says Harvard's Jean Duffy. In 2004, the U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality concluded that melatonin is not effective in treating most primary or secondary sleep disorders. Now, a primary sleep disorder is one in which doctors can find no cause for the insomnia. And a secondary sleep disorder is caused by other conditions, for example, depression or sleep apnea. But the U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality found that travelers with jet lag or night workers who took melatonin, usually in doses of 5 or 6 milligrams, slept an average of 18 minutes more than similar people who took a placebo. Though melatonin did not help them fall asleep any faster or sleep any better, though. And the U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality also found that melatonin might help with an uncommon condition called delayed sleep phase syndrome, in which patients typically fall asleep hours after midnight and have difficulty waking up in the morning because their internal clock is off. In two studies, melatonin helped patients with delayed sleep phase syndrome fall asleep an average of about 40 minutes earlier than usual. Melatonin can help pull their sleeping time back somewhat so that they can go to sleep earlier and they can get up earlier, says Dr. Taibbi. Kava is another potential sleep aid. Kava is a plant extract in the pepper family, indigenously found in the South Pacific. And although scientific studies provide some evidence that kava may be beneficial for the management of anxiety, notes the National Institute of Health's National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, it is not a proven therapy for other uses. What's more, the World Health Organization has reported more than 60 cases of possible liver toxicity in kava users. And the World Health Organization warns that kava should not be used with drugs that prevent blood clots, psychotic episodes, or anxiety. Now, yoga might help with sleep by promoting relaxation, says Dr. Taibbi. However, evidence from controlled studies is elusive. In the only trial in the U.S. and Canada, in adults, women reported no better sleep quality after participating in a low-intensity yoga program for 4 months. Now, body temperature typically is high until right before you go to bed, notes Dr. Duffy, and then there's a rapid decline. And the lowest body temperature is reached just before morning. The drop in body temperature is one of the physiological triggers for sleep, says Dr. Taibbi. When you take a warm bath, the dissipation of heat afterwards can set off that trigger, she explains. In two studies, when 23 women in their 60s and 70s with insomnia took a hot bath, that is 105 degrees Fahrenheit, 90 minutes before bedtime, they awoke less during the night than when they took a lukewarm bath, that is 5 degrees less at 100 degrees Fahrenheit, or no bath at all. And the women also reported that their sleep was deeper and more restful. People don't realize how much caffeine can interfere with sleep, says Thomas Roth, chief of sleep medicine at Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit. They think that if the caffeine is out of their system, they're okay, but they may not be. Caffeine affects sleep by interfering with adenosine, which is a compound found in every cell in the body. And in the brain, adenosine puts you to sleep, Dr. Roth explains. If you inject adenosine into the brain of an animal, it will go to sleep. So while you're awake during the day, your brain is building up its levels of adenosine, says Dr. Roth. And the adenosine is dissipated while you sleep, unless you don't sleep long enough to get rid of it all. And that's where caffeine comes in. Caffeine, you see, binds to adenosine receptors in the brain, which prevents the adenosine from entering nerve cells, so it can't make you drowsy. While most people know that caffeine can disrupt sleep if it's consumed in the evening, what is not widely known is that caffeine taken earlier in the day can disrupt sleep later that night, says Dr. Roth. When 9 healthy young men who regularly drank 1 or 2 caffeinated beverages a day consumed 200 milligrams of caffeine at 7 a.m., their sleep was affected 16 hours later when they went to bed at 11 p.m., even though they had no more caffeine during the rest of the day, and the level in their blood was approaching zero. As a point of reference, a 16-ounce grand brewed coffee at Starbucks has 330 milligrams of caffeine. It took them 11 more minutes to fall into deep sleep, and their total sleep time averaged 10 minutes less than on a night when they consumed a placebo instead of caffeine in the morning. Now, 10 minutes is not a big deal for a single day, says Dr. Roth, but it is a big deal as a nightly issue. If you occasionally drink alcohol just before bedtime, it will put you to sleep more quickly for the first couple of hours, and it will increase your slow-wave sleep. But then it will spoil your sleep during the latter part of the night, says Dr. Roth. After about 2 hours, and the time depends on how much alcohol you've had, your body starts to clear the alcohol from your system, he explains. You begin getting fragmented sleep, which is waking up briefly and repeatedly, and then disrupted sleep, which is waking from dreams and returning to sleep with difficulty. And if you regularly drink alcohol to fall asleep, its sleep-inducing effect eventually wears off, and you'll still have fragmented and disrupted sleep. We've reached the conclusion of this month's segment of Nutrition News, and the show will be rebroadcast this week on Friday at 11 p.m. and on Saturday at 3 p.m. Please join me for the next edition of Nutrition News, which will air on Wednesday, November 7th, 2012. I'm Ann Weller, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and I do hope that you've enjoyed the show. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience, and it is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next month.